This is a longer chapter than the ones that we've read previously. I think the longest one we had before was about the same, was chapter 3. Well, chapter 1 was a little longer, was one longer. It's 27 verses long, so it's a little longer than the chapters we've been. But it's a different chapter in that the message is consistent and straightforward, and it's single-minded. The entire message of this chapter is 100% single-minded. And this is one of the few chapters in the Bible where God's talking about His judgment, and He doesn't give a lot of hope. You know, many times you have God's judgment talked about in Israel, and He spends time and he talks about what's going to happen to them, and then He talks about His mercy and how He's going to redeem them. You don't hear a lot of that in this chapter. It's very straightforward. Now, we know that He does, but He's wanting to, this is a very serious chapter. So, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, An end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and I will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I pity. But I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil, and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and will accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Behold the day, behold it is come. The morning is gone forth, the rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded. Violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of any of theirs, neither shall there be wailing for them. The time is come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive, for the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. They have blown the trumpet even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But they that escape of them shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning every one for his iniquity. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them. And I will give it into the hands of strangers for prey, and to the wicked of the earth for spoil, and they shall pollute it. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Now this passage, the only thing that it talks about is a small remnant escaping. Those that escape to the mountains. Everybody else is there. And he starts out talking about the land. It's come upon the land. And this is both an ongoing and will have its culmination, obviously, in that time of what we call Jacob's trouble, that the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble, what we call the Great Tribulation, that period of time. These are the things that are going to happen to it and have happened to it. The land of Israel has been repeatedly overrun by the heathen, by the wicked. It has been repeatedly given into the hands of the wicked nations around Israel that Israel copied, and those nations that Israel was to drive out were used to judge them throughout their history, and finally the heathen come in, and you look through there, and then you have the Assyrians come in, you have the Babylonians come in, then you have the Medes and the Persians come in, then you have the Greeks come in, and then you have the Romans come in. And you go all the way through the book of Daniel, it talks about these world kingdoms that are coming. They're all heathen kingdoms. They're all heathen. And finally, I want you to notice something that he said that he would do. He said verse 24, he said, wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. And we see that also today, but when you go down to the things and you look at the people that have come into Israel, and Sennacherib and Sargon and Nebuchadnezzar and the Medes and the Persians and all those that came through, Cyrus and Xerxes and Ahasuerus and all the different deals, and then when you get on and when Alexander the King, the Great's kingdom was divided up by his four major generals and everything, and then they had the Ptolemies of Egypt, and then they had the Antiochus of Syria, and those of Rome, and those of Greek and of Macedonia, and that area up there that came through and pillaged the land. And you go all the way to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, who came in and actually sacrificed swine, put up an image of Jupiter in the temple and sacrificed swine on the altar to defile it. And these things are going to happen. That was a foreshadowing of what was spoken of Daniel the prophet, by Daniel the prophet, of the abomination that maketh desolate. Talking about when, if you go into the book of 2 Thessalonians, where he goes in and he wants to, he's going to set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. He's going to exalt himself against everything that is called God. And eventually, when we get down to the final part of this, Israel is going to be overrun by the absolute worst of the heathen. He's going to be literally Satan incarnate. He's going to be possessed of the devil. That's Antichrist. That's the beast. And they're going to be under the sway of a false prophet, and they're going to be judged. And if you look at the things that happen, and you take the time and read this chapter and go read the things that happened in the land of Israel, and you have to understand that while a lot of this that is going on is going to be going to affect people all over the world, the focus is going to be on Israel, because he is going to, you know, Antichrist doesn't just mean in Christ, it also means in place of Christ. And there's only going to be a remnant that are going to survive. And they're going to be called out, and God's going to reveal himself, and that final remnant is going to turn to the Lord, but not until they have suffered. And the land has suffered. The land is still suffering there today, is it not? They're still under attacks from the heathen. They're still under attacks. And God, this is God's judgment. And when you look at what he says, this is clear that it foreshadows the worst of the worst that's going to come. But you see that all over that. And he says that these things are going to happen to them. Why? It says, because they forsook the beauty of his ornament, and they made the images of their abominations, in verse 20, of their detestable things. Therefore I have set set it far from them. He says if you go and you look and go all the way back, go to the beginning of the chapter, notice he says in verse 3, he says, now the end has come upon thee, speaking to the land, and I will send my anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. Verse 4, and mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. In the verse 8, now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish my anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and recompense thee for all thine abominations. Verse 9, and mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. He tells them again and again, it's because of their abominations. He says in verse 19, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of wrath, of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. So we see that picture again and again. It's about their abominations. It's about their stumbling block. It's about them trusting in themselves. You remember, several times that during the times of the kings, when they had people that were coming up against them, you remember what Rehoboam did, right? He had, I think it was the king of Assyria come up against him, or somebody come up against him, and he gave them all the gold shields that Solomon had made, and they made brass shields, right? And there were others who sent treasure. Some of them took the treasure out of the house of the Lord and gave it. They used their money, their wealth, to try to deliver them instead of turning to the Lord. You go back and you read that, you see that many times they were put under tribute. They were okay as long as they kept paying. That's not going to do them any good in that day. And so we see these things happening over and over again, and we read in the Bible the culmination, but it is because of their abominations, their idolatry, their wickedness, their turning away from God, their trusting in their money, their wealth, their trusting in that. Israel's not much different today. Did you know that? They still trust in their wealth and their ability. They're actually have probably the strongest military in the Middle East. Do you not think that if it had been possible that the different Arab nations would have already wiped them out? Look at all the Ayatollah Khomeini, Saddam Hussein, right? The guy in Syria, the Egyptians at one point, the Jordanians at one point. All these people were going against them. Even the Soviets were actually there in the 1967 wars that took down there. The Soviets were down there. And they were able to resist them, and they were able to beat them, and they did that. And they are one of the most prosperous nations down there. And they do a lot of different things down there, as far as their abilities and their wealth and the things that they have. They're actually a pretty wealthy nation when it comes down to it. And granted, God has a hand in that, doesn't He? Amen. But they still haven't turned to Him, have they? They're still in jeopardy. The land is still being defiled. And notice what he says. He talks about everybody who's in the land. That means Jew and Gentile. This judgment's going to be anybody who's in the land. They're going to be dealt with. Not just the Jewish people, but he says, in verse 12, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. So this judgment is not just about the Jew. Obviously, that's the starting point. But verse 9 says, mine eye he says that that's not the one I'm looking for. Verse 11 says, violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of any of theirs, neither shall there be wailing for them. The time has come, the day draweth near. And let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. So it talks about all the different things. It talks about their trade and the things that they do. So it's an amazing thing when we look at this passage of Scripture and notice that it doesn't really give any hope. There's only one passage of hope that I briefly mentioned earlier that it talks about, and when he says in over in verse, he starts in verse 15. Verse 14, he said, "They have blown the trumpet even to make all ready, but none go to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof." That's the other verse I was looking for. And he said, "The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him." Look at verse 16. "But they that escape of them shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, every one for his iniquity. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water, and they shall gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon their faces, and baldness upon all their heads." Those that escape are going to escape, and they're going to be in mourning, and wailing, and crying, and ashamed. They're going to be humbled. There's going to be a few that escape, not many. And you go down into the book of Revelation, and you see that it doesn't end until the Lord Jesus comes back in glory. Revelation chapter 19. You don't see that. And this is something that we need to understand. That as we study the Word of God, we need to understand, we need to take it to heart. It's kind of an amazing thing. We hear people sit there and say, "Well, God's going to take care of Israel. God, they're His chosen people, you know." And I understand where you're coming from and all that. But you got a bunch of people that are sitting there, and people there that are saying, "Boy, if we forsake Israel, America's done for." But do we not hear what God is saying to Israel? And if you believe that they're His chosen, and that they have something special. This is God dealing with His people. This is harsh. This is final. A multitude are going to die. Multitude of Jews are going to die lost and go to hell forever. God talks about the finality of it. In other words, God is saying, you know, I tell you how I will bless you. And we should believe that. But those blessings are in many places, if not most places, conditional, are they not? But God also tells us how He will judge us. Now, we don't want to be like Israel and not listen. Because when it comes, it will be final. When it comes, it will be swift. You know that Jesus says in many places, "Behold, I come how? Quickly." When He comes, it's quick. He comes in an hour that we think not. This is one chapter that has one theme: judgment. And it has a note of finality to it. Just as God's mercy and salvation is a finalized thing when Jesus said, "It is finished." Amen. God's judgment is going to be final. There is no escaping it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. Help us to see. Lord, it's hard sometimes to read things like this, and I wonder sometimes, Father, if we just don't believe it the way we should. Lord, help us to believe it. Help us to tremble at your word. Help us to see the truth of it. Lord, we know that these things are going to come upon Israel and come upon the nations. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to see what we need to do to avoid the judgment of God, that we would tremble and have a soft and a broken heart over sin and desire to do right. Help us, we pray, not to make these same errors. Help us to look at your word and believe it with all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.